We'll pause a moment for silent prayer before beginning our second session, affording you the opportunity for rebound if necessary. Shall we pray? Father, we thank you for another opportunity to advance within your plan, and our prayers the Holy Spirit would guide and direct us as we examine the items before us, and that we provide the positive volition that takes the system and makes it active and productive for us. And we lift our prayer in Christ's name. Amen. We noted a few points in closing. I'll repeat a couple. Church-age believers can study the Lord's execution of the prototype experiment and conclude that it is capable of sustaining status quo spirituality when utilized. So this is available to all of us, and we need to comprehend the power availability that is involved in this process. To have the Holy Spirit available to empower your life consistently throughout your life, spiritual life, I would add, beginning at salvation, is unique to this dispensation. Therefore, we learn that the prototype divine dynasphere is adequate to manage all the exigencies that the devil's world can offer and do so without fail if volition remains positive. So there is a prototype system, there is an operational system. And there's a chart that we can review that compares the two. And I think the last time I showed this, you couldn't see it, but now we have a fancier gizmo. We compare the prototype and operational power systems. The blue is the prototype. The green is the operational. Each has an objective. The prototype's objective is fulfill the salvation plan of God. The operational objective, fulfill God's plan for our individual lives. You have a plan. It is revealed in Scripture. God will lead you through it if you're positive and objective. The process for the prototype system, maintenance of impeccability by resistance to temptation with 8 problem-solving devices. So maintenance of impeccability is the process, and to resist temptation within that system. For the operational system, maintenance of spirituality by resistance to temptation with 10 problem-solving devices. Maintain spirituality with these 10 things. And when it's lost, you have rebound recovery. How are these things accomplished? For the prototype system, dependence upon the Spirit's leadership and reliance on doctrine in the soul. And for the operational system, dependence upon the Spirit's leadership and reliance on doctrine in the soul. Power and knowledge. That's how it's done. Status quo for the prototype, impeccability. Status quo for the operational system, spirituality. These are status quos. The result in the prototype, qualification to be our substitute on the cross. That's qualification to be the substitute. Impeccability is the imperative. For the operational system, spiritual maturity, experiential sanctification, capacity of righteousness, and glorification of Christ. Experiential sanctification has to do with spiritual growth that leads to spiritual maturity. Capacity righteousness has to do with your ability to receive the blessings of God. If you don't have the capacity for it, then even if you were to receive them, they would be a cursing to you. You don't have the wherewithal to utilize it, let alone enjoy it. Glorification of Christ is the ultimate result. The conclusion for the prototype. The prototype system proves sufficient to achieve the objective of salvation. The operational system is proved to be sufficient to achieve the objective of spiritual maturity. We know that each of these lead to these conclusions. You can be confident of that. If utilized, they work. Christ proved it. You may prove it in the operational system. Now, point 13. Confirmation of the operational system for the church-age believer occurs among those who utilize its assets and call upon its power. If you don't know the system, and then if you do not utilize it, then it cannot be confirmed in your laboratory. Each one of you is in a laboratory. It is the laboratory of your own soul, which has been imputed the assets of this system, and you may therefore document, you may demonstrate that it is sufficient to lead you not only to spiritual maturity, but to maintain your spiritual life en route. And if you do not make it, it is because you do not utilize the assets available. You therefore can confirm this system as you utilize the assets and call upon its power. Therefore, let's note some concepts here. Each system results in tactical and strategic victories. We'll note the chart first and then two or three points. Strategic and tactical victories for Christ. At the virgin birth, being filled with the Holy Spirit, He began tactical victories that took Him throughout the incarnation. He arrived qualified to be our substitute on the cross. And that is where He won the strategic victory in the angelic conflict. For Christ, tactical victories first, followed by the strategic victory of the cross. For believers, we have the strategic victory occurring at our spiritual birth. Then from that point, with the system in place, we have the opportunity for tactical victories all the way to our physical death. And when we die, we then are able to enjoy the strategic victory by being absent from the body and face to face with the Lord. Now, the definitions that we've used in the past for strategy, the art of applying the necessary means to fulfill the desired end. So applying necessary means to fulfill an end, our Lord was able to do that on the cross, and it started with His impeccability. It started with His personal love for God and being willing to receive the imputation of our sins, and the unconditional love for the human race, being willing to be judged for them. And then when it comes to tactics, using weapons or forces employed at the battlefront, small-scale actions serving a larger purpose. So tactical victories put you on the front lines of the battle in the invisible war, and you have to utilize a system that you have to employ a system in order to remain stable during these challenges. Now, the Lord used it in the incarnation. You may use it in your operational spiritual life. Now, each system, therefore, results in tactical and strategic victories. Now, the Lord used the prototype system to win tactical victories during the 33 years of His earthly ministry. There are tactical victories all along the way for Him, and we've reviewed some of them this morning. But in order to get to the cross impeccable, He had to use the system we've been demonstrating to get there. And so He, talk about a front ranker and a hero. You think of the things you have to manage on a daily basis. His were magnified by comparison to what we face. The advantage He had over us is that He didn't have a sinful nature. The advantage that we have over Him is that we were not the Messiah. And therefore, the pressures upon Him were absolutely unbelievable. Now, the Lord used the prototype system to win the strategic victory on the cross, which resulted in the redemption of the human race. Now, the prototype system won that victory. It was strategic because it nailed the whole deal shut with regard to Lucifer's rebellion. His rebellion has been proved to be illegal, immoral, a transgression of divine law. All of the indictments that came down to him as a result of his rebellion have been proved in the courtroom to have been valid. He therefore is guilty. Because of the strategic victory of Christ, he will face eternal life in the lake of fire. All angels are imputed eternal life at their creation, and so his will not be withdrawn. That would not be eternal. And so he must spend it in the lake of fire. And as he does, he will be reminiscent of his rebellion. Jesus Christ, therefore, was victorious in the angelic conflict, and he has brought all of that to an end that still must be played out for the advantage of believers. The reason the angelic conflict continues to rage is that Jesus Christ continues to accumulate those who will be a member of His royal family and will serve with Him during His millennial kingdom, postponed. Postponed because the Israelite community of the Incarnation rejected Him as Messiah. So the Lord used the prototype system to win the strategic victory on the cross, which resulted in the redemption of the human race. We need to define redemption. Redemption is defined as the saving work of Jesus Christ on the cross, whereby all humanity is bought out from the slave market of sin, in which they were spiritually dead, and delivered to the freedom of grace. Now get the concept here. The action of Christ on the cross redeemed the entire human race. What does redemption mean? It means to be bought out of a slave market, actually. It means to have the locks taken off the doors and the doors are free to be opened by anyone who chooses to exit. The entire human race is free to exit that slave market. The door is unlocked. All one has to do is get up, open the door, and walk into freedom. That opportunity stands for every individual that has ever lived. And Jesus Christ made this possible for all Old Testament saints as well as those post-resurrection. Jesus Christ has unlocked the jail, and you may walk out. Redemption is defined as the saving work of Jesus Christ on the cross, whereby all humanity is bought out from the slave market of sin in which they were born spiritually dead and delivered to the freedom of grace. Redemption, then, is realized when a person is born again by faith alone in Christ alone. To open the door and walk out is a volitional choice to believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. The door is open, but you have to open it and walk out. And to do that requires simply a volitional choice. Is Jesus the Messiah? 17. The church-age believer wins the strategic victory of salvation through faith alone in Christ alone, at which point he is imputed the operational system by which he may then win tactical victories in his execution of the Christian way of life. You will note here that all who have believed have won the strategic victory. There are tactical victories to be won. You have eternal life. You have the guarantee of a resurrection body. You will go to heaven when you die. Your old sin nature is dead to you. It can only be revived by your free will. You have been imputed all of the divine operating assets you need in order to execute the plan of God for your life and win these tactical victories. All of these things have been made available to everyone who believes in Christ. The greatest power ever made available to a human being in the spiritual warfare has been given to us. The question arises is, what are believers doing with this along the way to their resting in peace? And the challenge, therefore, comes to these who gather here. You understand these things. We're amplifying them in our study. We're making it real with regard to our look at the light as compared with darkness. This trail here that you walk, the black trail here noted as tactical victories, it abounds with challenges, temptations, difficulties. That fellow that Tammy told me about, who last week had a wife and a 9-year-old daughter, this week he has a 9-year-old daughter. That was not on his daytimer, I imagine, a year or two ago. These things come up. It is the devil's world. It is the gene pool crapshoot. You don't have the gift of prophecy. Now is the time to prepare for the challenges that confront us in the devil's world. Don't question God. It's all Adam's fault. This is a fallen environment. The DNA has been fractured by the imposition into the human body of the sinful nature. Therefore, to prepare for the things that are on your agenda is now during a period of prosperity. And the way to do that is to grow in grace and start using the power you have to become a good soldier for Christ. And whatever happens along the way, you are prepared for because you submit to the plan that God devised for you in eternity past. He recognized that certain things would occur because of the fallen nature of our bodies and the fallen nature of the planet. We can't fix the planet, okay? The planet is designed to kill us. And the desire to fix the planet is a piece of human good that has eventuated into evil. It has suddenly been discovered the planet is designed to kill us. If you keep breathing, you're going to die. And so it has been decided to create, nay, legislate the millennial kingdom, which is right out of the heart of hell. That is the very idea that Lucifer announced that he would pursue when he said, I will be like the Most High. I can do anything that Christ can do, but I can do it better. And I don't need him to get it done. I can fix this. Follow me and I will fix it. I'll make it better. Petunias will bloom everywhere. Birds will chirp. Little dogs will nip at your heels. You'll be happy as punch. Just give me a shot at this. And when you breathe in, it'll be as pure as the wind-driven snow. When you move along this track here, that's not what you're going to find. You will find it as a believer at the second advent of Christ when He takes this fallen environment in which we must exist now. And He personally will restore it to its pristine perfection for 1,000 years in which you will serve in His administration. You will have duties to perform. Some of you will run countries. Some of you may have political aspirations. I can't imagine that, and I hope your mother doesn't find out. But some of you may. And if you have that the abilities for that kind of thing, the Lord would know it. And in the millennial kingdom, you may run a country. You may run a country like, I don't know, say France, which needs running. And some of you can be, say you're a good organizer. You may head up some organization that has to do with keeping things in order. And you're a good teacher, and you may do this something in the teaching realm. Who knows what your talents and abilities are with regard to a perfect body and a sinless modus operandi? Some of you are going to chop cotton on the back 40 because you walk this path here with great deviations and you didn't utilize your assets, but saved. And so when you get out here and check out, what will your duties be in the millennial kingdom? Knowing nothing, Mr. Know Nothing, Mr. Never Did Nothing, Mr. Never Got Nothing Done At All, Mr. Dumbo, still saved, resurrection body, eternal life. But what do you do with a person like that? I mean, what's your portfolio going to read when you come before the employment office of the millennial kingdom? Then he takes a look at that and he'll say, well, you don't know nothing. You are saved. Welcome to the family. But what I want you, only thing I can figure you to do is chop cotton out on the back 40. Can you think you can do that? Yes, sir, I think I can. Well, here's your gunny sack. Have at it. I would hope that nobody that's matriculated here for a reasonable length of time is going to be relegated to such demeaning labor. Because that is tough on the lower back. Oh, you've chopped cotton before. Tim, I had no idea. Well, you see, that's a living testimony of the progress one can make when he has positive volition of this system. Does Melinda know that? So again, redemption is defined as the saving work of Jesus Christ on the cross, whereby all humanity is bought out from the slave market of sin, in which they were born spiritually dead, and delivered to the freedom of grace. In other words, it's all grace now. You're lost, you have a sin nature, you still stand under condemnation. That's John chapter 3, verses 18 and 36. For those without Christ continue to be condemned. There is therefore now no condemnation, no judgment for those who are in Christ Jesus. You can lift the condemnation by faith in Christ. So redemption is realized when a person is born again through faith alone in Christ alone. So the church age believer wins the strategic victory of salvation through faith alone in Christ alone, at which point he has imputed the operational system by which he may then win tactical victories in his execution of the Christian way of life. 18, the prototype divine power system of the dispensation of the incarnation was retired at the resurrection of Christ. The prototype system was retired. That was at the resurrection. The operational system of the dispensation of the church will be retired at the rapture of the church. It went functional at Pentecost. It is retired at the rapture. No longer necessary. Sinful nature, gone. Eternal life, operational. Absent from the body, face to face with the Lord prior to the rapture, that's when yours is terminated. And at the rapture, it is terminated completely and forever, no longer necessary. The prototype system's confirmation is mentioned by Paul in his introduction to Romans. Romans 1:4. The pronoun here, who, refers to Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ was demonstrated, horizo, demonstrated the Son of God. Demonstrated, mind you. We'll take a look at that word in a minute. But we talk about the divine power system in the prototype as an experiment in which something is going to be demonstrated for authentication. Is Jesus the Christ, the Son of God? That's the question. Paul writes that he was demonstrated the Son of God by means of power belonging to the Holy Spirit. That's Christ functional in the prototype during the incarnation. We can see it play out in the Scriptures. He was demonstrated the Son of God by means of power belonging to the Holy Spirit. Further, by means of the resurrection from the dead, Jesus Christ our Lord. Resurrection confirmed that Jesus Christ successfully utilize the prototype system to remain sinless from physical birth to physical death. How do we put such value on the resurrection? For a person who is as sinful as we are is not a qualified substitute. Jesus Christ was the mediator. He had to be equal with God in His undiminished deity. He had to be equal with man in His true humanity. Therefore, He is a qualified mediator between the two who are at odds. God says to the human race, I love you, but I can do nothing for you because you are no longer perfect. And I cannot associate with any entity, angelic or human, that is not perfect. Perfection must be restored, and you are fallen. There's nothing you can personally do to rectify this situation. It is permanent. It remains permanent because you personally are fallen, and no matter what you do, cannot change the fact that you have erred. If there is a solution, I therefore must come up with it. You can't do it, I can. But I can only do it if there's a mediator that qualifies on both sides of the courtroom. My side, undiminished deity, your side, true humanity, and Jesus Christ, the second person of the Trinity, volunteered to take on true humanity, Philippians chapter 2. In order for him to qualify, though, to be that substitute, he had to enter as true humanity into human history, the virgin birth. He was given a system, the prototype divine power sphere. He was told, utilize this and do not depend on the attributes of your deity. Use the human assets that have been invented for this purpose. Move through the period of time called the incarnation of 33 years. Do so by using this system in order to remain sinless. Never commit one volitional sin. Do not get involved in verbal sins. Do not get involved in overt sins. You do not have the problem of a genetic sin nature, but you do have the problem of existing in cosmos diabolicus with all of the same challenges that the human beings face, yet you must remain sinless. You must arrive at a point in time where you will be executed in a certain fashion. At that point, once your life is now about to be over and you are qualified to be a substitute, I will then challenge you to receive the imputation of all humanity's sins upon yourself, and you will be challenged to either accept or reject that offer. When he got to the cross, it must be assumed he got there impeccable. When he was asked by God, will you receive the imputation of the sins of all mankind upon yourself, being yourself sinless? Knowing that you are absorbing upon yourself the sins of others, you are completely innocent of anything they've done, no matter what it is, minor or horrific. You're innocent of it all, yet you must be willing to receive the transfer from their ledger to yours. Are you willing to do that? And because of personal love for God, he was willing to take that imputation upon himself. Are you willing now that you have this transfer on you? Are you willing to be judged for them? Not because you're guilty of anything, but because you're willing to be the substitute for the many. And because of unconditional love for the human race, he said, yes, I will be judged for them. And then he was for 3 hours. And then he said, Tetelestai, I have finished the duty. It is over. And then he commended his spirit to the Father, and he died physically. And they put him in a grave. And those people who knew him were worried sick about it. Jesus is dead. And they went to the grave and they looked, and it was sealed by the Romans. And they went into depression about it. Jesus of Nazareth is dead. We thought he was going to set up the kingdom. He never got around to it, and now he's dead. And then 3 days later, suddenly we find he's walking around, walking down the Emmaus Road, arriving in people's homes, carrying on conversations, having meals with people, and suddenly everybody begins to realize, hey, Jesus is back. And so they had a little meeting at one time, and the disciples began to talk to him, and he walks through doors, and they realize that he's in a resurrection body, and as the song says, he lives. Therefore, a question has to be asked during those 3 days. Was Jesus the Christ? Was he the Son of God? Was he able to get to the cross impeccable and thus qualified? Or was there a foul-up somewhere along the line? Say when he threw the money changers out of the temple. Maybe that was a sinful act. Maybe that was... And when they tried to stone him, maybe a thought crossed his mind about, hey, you lowlifes, or something like that. Maybe he fouled up one time somewhere along the way. And now he's dead. And like us, he committed that one sin, and therefore he, like us, needs a Savior. Woe is us. How do we know whether he was good enough? How do we know whether he qualified? How do we know that he made it through using the power system to remain perfect? Is there a way to know? As they looked at each other and posed the question. And then the resurrection. God is propitiated with the work of Jesus Christ on the cross. He was satisfied with him as the substitute and with his work for us by receiving our sins and their judgment. God looked on that and said, I am satisfied with that. And as a result, the human race has been redeemed. And as a result of that, the barrier has been removed and man has been reconciled to me. The proof positive of who and what Jesus Christ is, what He claimed to be, what He came here to accomplish, the solution to the experiment being successful and authenticated is the resurrection of Christ. Resurrection confirmed that Jesus Christ successfully utilized the prototype system to remain sinless from physical birth to physical death. Now, the word demonstrated, I think it's declared in all the major English translations. The word demonstrated or declared is the aorist passive participle of the verb horazo. It means to define, to determine, to explain, or to set forth distinctively. There's a lot here in this word demonstrated that will amplify what we've noted this morning. And this is the place we will resume our study after probably a very needful review on Tuesday evening, the 15th of May. I'll see you back here then. Heavenly Father, we are grateful to You for the opportunity of noting and studying these things regarding the systems which sustained Christ in the Incarnation and the one that can sustain us if we utilize its assets. We do so by confession alone to You of those sins we commit. We acquire status quo spirituality. We turn on all of the assets. They become functional so that we might use them to grow in grace, to learn about You, Your plan, Your desires, Your mandates. And we have the power to execute all aspects of this system. In doing so, we glorify our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We magnify Your Word, and we make the advance in a system that takes us all the way to the sophisticated life of Your plan. And in so doing, we earn for ourselves the rewards that would come to those who achieve the escrow, not only in time, but also in the millennial kingdom. May we be motivated and encouraged by the knowledge of these things as we lift our prayer in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Charis human kai arene, plethunthae en epinosai, to theu kai iesu tu kuriu hemon. And now may grace and prosperity be multiplied unto you by means of your knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Amen.